Farrell, brother and sister, Grand Rapids, Michigan, May 1st, 1891. Dear brother and sister Farrell, I should be so pleased could I step into your room this morning and converse and pray with you. But although I cannot be with you, I do not cease to pray for you, that the Lord may spare your life, if it should be for your good and His glory. I often think of the precious season we had together in your room, for bright rays from the Sun of Righteousness were shining upon me. My own heart was comforted and blessed. I know that the Lord will comfort and strengthen you in your affliction. I have not been well, and have been much exhausted since I left Battle Creek. Since last September, my labor has been continuous. Some matters have been very taxing, but I have found no time to rest. The promise to us is, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." Revelation 2, verse 10. The light of truth that has been graciously given us is now to go forth from us to others. "Ye are the light of the world," said Christ. Matthew 5, verse 14. He has made us stewards of His grace, stewards of sacred responsibilities. All the goods He has entrusted to us are to be faithfully used to His glory. If I could sit by your side for a short time, I would converse with you on some points. You are sick. You do not know how this sickness may terminate. The Lord's goods are in your hands. My brother, will you not consider what disposition you will make of these goods? Will you not arrange your affairs in such a manner that, after your death, your means will still be used in sending the beings of the Sun of Righteousness into the world? I call your attention to the duties that rest upon you as the Lord's agent. It is your duty to make secure your earthly treasure in the bank of heaven. Lay up for yourselves, said Christ, treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Matthew 6, verse 20. Money is greatly needed in the Lord's treasury to sustain and advance the various lines of His cause. Do not leave your God-given talent of means to pass into the hands of unbelievers whom you know will not use any of this means to send the light of truth into the dark places of the earth. The Lord loves you. And now, while you are sick and afflicted, He gives you the privilege of being a laborer together with Him by donating to His cause the goods that He has entrusted to you. Thus, you may advance His work in our world. And what a reward is set before you! They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars for ever and ever. Daniel 12, verse 3. I address these lines to you, in order that no part of your work shall be left incomplete. The end of all things is at hand. 1 Peter 4, verse 7. At best, our time for work is short. You may soon lay off your armor at the feet of your Redeemer. I desire that you, with Paul, shall be able to say, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." 2 Timothy 4, verse 7, 8. Just prior to His crucifixion, the Lord gave to His disciples the commission, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature." Mark 16, verse 15. He promised to be with them always, even to the end of the world. The work of the Lord in our world will enlarge and extend. If it is not His will, my brother, that your personal influence shall much longer contribute to the advancement of His work, you can return to Him your means, appropriating it for the advancement of His missionary work. Thus, you will share the reward of those who participate in the closing work of proclaiming the third angel's message to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. The Lord's work needs means. I know not your financial resources, but I feel urged by the Spirit of God to speak to you on this point. You can do something for the Master. You can give back to Him that which He has entrusted to you. May you be inspired to act from unselfish motives. In answer to the Lord's inquiry, "Whom shall I send?" Isaiah responded, "Here am I, send me." Isaiah 6, verse 8. You, my brother, may not be able to go into the Lord's vineyard yourself, but you may furnish the means to send others. Thus, you will be putting your money out to the exchangers, and when the Master comes, you will be able to return to Him His own with usury. Your means can be used to send forth and sustain the messengers of God, who, by voice and by influence, will give the message, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make His paths straight." Matthew 3, verse 3.
Plans are being made for the advancement of the cause, and now is our time to work. Let not your work be left unfinished, but make it a perfect whole. The holy influences of the past, set in operation by the Lord, have been accumulating from age to age, and are in these last days combined and multiplied. The obligations of the present age are in proportion to this accumulated treasure of light and influence. All that we are and all that we have should be consecrated to the Lord's service. Our voice, our influence, and our means should be used in proclaiming to the world God's message of invitation. The Spirit and the Bride say, "Come," and let him that heareth say, "Come," and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. All the heavenly agencies are engaged in this work. They hold themselves in readiness to cooperate with human agencies in laboring for the salvation of fallen man. We call upon you, my brother, to unite with the heavenly agencies and with consecrated men and women in God's service. Use your influence and your means, doing what you can with that which lies in your hands, to diffuse the truth in the closing years of the earth's history. Christ says, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and offspring of David," speaking of his humanity, "and the bright and morning star," speaking of his divinity. Verse 16. In Christ, humanity and divinity are united. Divine and human agencies combined are essential for the carrying forward of gospel work. Christ has declared that all power in heaven and earth has been given to Him, and this is to be used in advancing His great work. He declares that for the fulfillment of His purpose of mercy, the union and cooperation of divine and human agencies are required. They are to do His will in opening the fountain of the water of life for a perishing world. The angels of God are sent to our world to minister unto those who shall be heirs of salvation. Unitedly, God's children, with voice, with pen, and with their entrusted earthly treasures, are to engage in Christ's service, saying, "Come." My brother, will you not unite with us in giving the invitation of mercy? Will you not join us in saying, "Come"? If while you live, you can make a disposition of your means, do this so far as possible. Let it not pass into the enemy's hands. And in your final will, make provision for continuing to give Christ's invitation by giving your means for the support of those who can give his invitation after you are at rest. My brother, my sister, I address you both as God's children for whom a heavy ransom has been paid by Jesus Christ to redeem you and to bind you to himself. For our sakes he became poor, that through his poverty we might become rich. Let us show our love for him by manifesting for fallen humanity the love that he has manifested for us. With much respect and in sincere love, I send these lines to you.